You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
You're fired!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you learning on the air what I just heard in my ear, Taylor?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Vrabel is not returning to the Titans.
Fired?
Yeah, fired.
What is that about?
The Rich Eisen Show.
That is nuts.
Today's guests, 2023 Formula E World Champion Jake Dennis, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel, actor Jake Johnson, and comedian Gareth Reynolds. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
This is going to be a fun three-hour program because last time we were on for 3 hours live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, SiriusXM Odyssey, and of course, the Roku channel. So much stuff happened. It's insane. We also had people just zooming in because they wanted to talk Michigan with me or accepted my invitation fresh off of Michigan's national championship game. Yesterday's show was insane. Blake Corum, Taylor Lewan. When Taylor Lewan was on the program, he found out his former coach got fired from the Tennessee Titans.
I still can't believe that yesterday.
Well, so, hey, yeah. Deebo Samuel's on the show, top of hour number three.
Uh-oh.
I can't wait to find out what happens when he's on. Shanahan's not going anywhere.
No, definitely not.
So, but stay tuned for that. He's on his bye week. He's kind enough to join us on his bye week, waiting to find out if he's going to be welcoming in Tampa, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, or Green Bay into his house. There's a whole host of possibilities. He's on an hour number three. And then very talented Jake Johnson will be on this program along with Gareth Reynolds. They have a podcast together. Jake also has a new film that's out on Hulu, which you can see right here on the Roku portal, Self-Reliance. And there's a great cast. And the interesting thing is Jake and Gareth, Jake's a Bears fan and Gareth is a Packers fan. And that should be fun when they join us together. Bruce Feldman will be in studio in just about an hour plus, and we're going to throw him a parade. You know?
Why is that?
Well, he said before the season Michigan was going to win it all. And
yeah, he kind of has been on it the whole time.
That's right. I just wish I had his calm, cool demeanor this entire time.
He's not emotionally invested.
I would have just been straight through.
He went through the U. He's not invested in Michigan.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah. Good to see you over there, Chris.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great.
Where's Mike Del Tufo, Jay?
I don't know.
Okay, great. Good to see you. Hey, TJ. TJ.
I'm here.
Candles lit. It's good to see you.
That's a given,
it's
pretty
good to
much.
See you. All right, so let's just talk about where I'm at in my my newfound world of being a national champion. I was on Dan Patrick's show about an hour ago. And he's like, you know, well, the NFL Network host, the Rich Eisen Show host, and Michigan graduate. And he just wanted to know if I was, which one, I guess, what to call me. And I said, just call me national champion, Dan. I don't think he appreciated that.
Well, Dan.
I've known Dan for over 25 years. I can tell where he finds me funny or he tolerates.
I don't think Dan wants you telling him what to do.
I know that.
I think,
There's all sorts of reasons why he was tolerating it.
Right.
But just, you know, I'm a national champion, and I'm learning how to wear these clothes and how to wear these that on for size. And at some point, and part of me, I'm already there. It's now time to survive and advance the coaching carousel when it comes to one Jim Harbaugh. Survive it. Each one that opens is a possibility of being the one that he takes to leave the University of Michigan, which I don't want. If he does and makes him happy, vaya con Dios, thank you for the championship. Thanks for that banner that will forever fly in Michigan Stadium. Thank you for that. That'll be a fun time. Hopefully we don't, you know, raise it when he's back in Detroit, you know, as a coach somewhere else. We have a nice ceremony, wait for him to come back because fill in the blank team is playing the Lions and he'll be in town.
Look, he did so, what you wanted him to do.
I know, but I want him to stay.
You want more?
Of course. Greed, for the lack of a better word, is good.
You've never come out and just said that.
The disease of more.
Again, I'm trying to learn from Chris over there.
Oh, it's great.
You know,
being
the villain, everybody hates you. Everybody thinks your accomplishments are tainted or have an asterisk. And you're like, let's just hang another one.
Yeah, 14.
I understand.
In 18 years.
Well, I mean, not all of those teams had asterisks.
No, but people think so.
I know.
They just lump them all
together.
So
I'm trying to learn from you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn from you. Yeah. So in terms of being the villain and learn and have to hang banners, Jim coming back is would be great. But I understand the likelihood of that. Not so great, but I've spoken things into existence here. And so one by one, an opening happens. Even Taylor Lewan, when he was on the show live yesterday and heard about the firing of Mike Vrabel, and both of us were like, get out of here. And he says, I think this is a mistake. And I'm like, I agree. And then it's just like, what about if Jim Harbaugh comes? He goes, well, that would be good. Even Taylor pivoted.
Yeah.
Even Taylor Lewan pivoted on that. So each one that opens is one that he will take. Conversely, each one that closes or doesn't open is one that kicks saves in a beauty and saves the goal and keeps Jim Harbaugh potentially where he is. How many times, as we were suspecting he might leave this year, watching the Bears struggle, that Jim would go back to Chicago, which drafted him. Back to Chicago, and Bears fans would welcome Harbaugh home with open arms and say, do for us what you did for Stanford and San Francisco and Michigan. Please us have a parade down Michigan Avenue with you, Jim. Ask Bears fans, oh, yeah, we'll take that.
Hmm.
And guess what?
Were these Wisconsin Bear fans?
It ain't happening. Because word is, it comes from everybody in the information community. They're staying pat. It is, in fact,
Eberflus.
That's Joe Mantegna when he came on this program. One of the Swirsky brothers himself. That man's BFF. What's his name again?
I don't know. Oh,
Ashton.
About.
Yeah. He gave us one of these from his car. Now, I think that will be the drop if this
that was impressive.
Decision to stick with Matt Eberflus does not work out. If it works out, I think we use the Joe Mantegna.
Eberflus.
And that's that's the drop for the defense. Now, that's what, you know, Chicago Bears defense in the last 2 months of the season, after Ryan Poles, the general manager, picked up Montez Sweat and then signed him. Boom. Done. That defense is balling out. Now we just got to work on the offense. And to that tune, the Bears announced Eberflus is coming back. And the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, along with his quarterback coach, hit the road.
Hey,
And I'm telling you what, I have texted multiple information individuals in our business. Nobody knows what this means. Nobody knows what this means. I don't know what it means. Does this mean, let's just take it one at a time. Here's what it means. Matt Eberflus is not going to be fired. That, we assume, means Ryan Poles, the general manager, is not going to be fired. We had Tom Pelissero on last week, and he described that the new team president, Kevin Warren, brought in from the Big Ten commissionership. He would have a large say in how these matters move forward. And I guess the organizational meetings in Chicago spat out, Poles is staying, Eberflus is staying, and these are the individuals collectively that will make the monster of the midway type decision as to what to do at quarterback. as this team, for a second consecutive year, has the first overall pick dropped into their last laps. Last year, it was Lovie spitting his last breath at the Houston Texans to give the first overall pick to the Chicago Bears, which worked out for everybody to date except for the Carolina Panthers, because they're the ones who coughed up this year's number one to go up to get Bryce Young, leaving C.J. Stroud for the Texans, who then traded up into the three spot to take Will Anderson. And those two individuals will be active this very Saturday on Super Wild Card Weekend against the Browns, as the Texans are the Wild Card Weekend participants from the AFC South as the champions of that division. And the Bears, while the Panthers totally, you know what, the bed this year and fired yet another coach and threw drinks at fans, they have the number one overall selection again. What does this mean? I don't know. And at this point, as we are sitting here 10 minutes into this Wednesday before Super Wild Card Weekend edition of the Rich Eisen Show, nobody does either. Nobody knows.
I think we all have an idea, though.
Which is what?
That
they're going to stay with him?
No. I think they're going to move on.
That they're going to hire somebody new once they make this decision?
I think Caleb's coming.
You're asking Fields to stay, to have his third different coordinator, coach, third different offense he's got to learn. That's a lot for a young quarterback. We've seen how that has rattled other guys, and it's kind of set them on the path to a mediocre or less than NFL career, and then they're out of the league.
Do you remember what the story was late September, I think it was, or early October? Remember when he said he felt robotic in the offense, Justin Fields? Remember
that?
Robotic. Well, he turned that around.
And then he got injured.
And then he turned it around after his injury. It was better this year, but the question again is, here's the real decision. It's not apples to apples. You have to pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option.
Right.
And then you must, after playing it out in year four, give him a market contract or let him go. It's that simple. Or let him play in his fifth year and give him a market contract after that.
Go the Cousins route, play out the fifth year, franchise tag.
And do all of that stuff one by one and just see how it goes. Don't jump, don't cannonball into the contractual pool. Just dip a toe in, then, you know, dip your leg in. Then you get to that spot where you really got to commit.
But what are you, 2 games better? Are you 9-8?
And that's the question. Yeah. Or you see, hey, we're going to play it out and we will get him the proper coordinator and quarterback coach and then he will thrive. Or you don't have to worry about dipping a toe in and then your leg in and see how it goes. You're going to go and get the kid. And I'll tell you what I would do if I was a coach who just survived, or the general manager who just potentially survived. I'd get the young kid and say, well, we're attaching ourselves to that hip.
Yes.
And we're going to start the contractual process again. And we're going to bring the kid to Chicago. And I think the kid's Caleb Williams. I know you're already seeing mock drafts with Drake May. I just think when it's all said and done and you put down lists, you always make a list. This is what we do here. And then this is the alternative here on this side. And then you compare and contrast. And if there's more positives on the list A, you go with list A over list B and vice versa. Caleb Williams gets the fan base completely fired up. Now, there are some Justin Fields fans in the fan base, I guess.
For sure.
But Caleb Williams has everyone at hello. If I'm the general manager and I'm the coach as well, I'm like, hey, maybe they'll give me a red shirt year with the new kid because he's a rookie. Or maybe you turn into John Fox where you get the gate after you get Mitchell Trubisky and we'll bring in somebody else who becomes coach of the year. before crapping out with Trubisky. But you see what my point is a defensive coach wanting to maybe hook himself up to the young quarterback and then maybe it all changes. That's not a bad idea. You start the clock again with a contract. You don't have to worry about a fifth-year option. You don't have to worry about a market-sized contract and dipping a toe in the pool. You just jump cannonball straight into the first overall pick. That's what the decision they have to make. But first things first is it's Eberflus first. And if you're going to be bringing in a young quarterback like Caleb Williams, maybe you don't stick with Eberflus. Maybe you bring in a young wunderkind offensive genius to sit down next to him like Reed sat down next to him in Kansas City, and now Mahomes is him, right? Maybe you bring in that offensive mind who sits right on that Gatorade jug next to the wunderkind on the bench. Why would you stick with a defensive-minded coach? Unless you got the offensive mind, that's your guy. You take care of the kid in X's and O's land. I'll take care of him in psychological land, and I'm on charge of the defense because that's what wins championships here in Chicago.
Yeah, the more I've thought about that this morning, I think that Fields is gone.
Also, guys, you got to look at this as a Bears fan. You would assume you already passed up on Mahomes one time, and now you've got to watch this guy and what he does, knowing that he was right there, and you could have had him Deshaun Watson, and you missed out on both of them. Now, Mahomes 2.0, are you going to take the chance? I don't think a Bears fan is going to get mad that you went after this guy and it doesn't work out.
That's a Bears fan thing. And that's a McCaskey thing. You're hitting it spot on. That's a McCaskey thing because the owners were in charge then as they are now. But Kevin Warren wasn't there for that decision. And Ryan Poles wasn't there. And Eberflus wasn't there. That's not in their mindset. They're looking at this just cold-hearted business. Do we want to pay Justin Fields, you know, fifth-year option money, you know, in his fifth year, go through the fourth year, and then have to sit with him for a fifth year, commit to him, obviously, and then we'll just see how it goes. That's your bird in the hand, but there's two in the bush named Caleb Williams and Drake May. And your evaluation of them is what? And also, how about this? What will you get for Justin Fields? Does it matter? I don't know. Because if you're somebody else, why would you take on that decision? We'll bring him in and we gotta the first thing we do is pick up his fifth year option, and now we're dipping a toe in that pool too. Oh man. But it's Eberflus and Ryan Poles. It's official. They're gonna be the ones to do that and then figure out the offense. The question is figuring out the offense for which quarterback? That's what's happening. But as I started this segment and finished with, take one off the board for Harbaugh. He ain't going to Chicago.
Yep.
See ya. Sorry, Bears fans. And by the way, I didn't think it sounded totally Wisconsin. They sound very similar. I know one has they're kind of different on the toll road.
That one time you.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. You went real Fargo with it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fargo's been so good.
Let's take a break. When we come back, by the way, phone calls 844-204-RICH, number to dial. As you know, we're right here on the Roku portal, Roku channel. And so we love being here and planting flags as Roku and the Roku channel continues to grow its sports world for all of you out there. You can see every major sporting event right here on the Roku portal. For instance, just get the Peacock app, put it on your Roku device, and you've got, boom, Kansas City hosting Miami on Saturday night. Thursday night football. Hopefully you've been watching it on Roku all year long. All of the playoff games, if you want to stream them, they're available. I've been watching all of the Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV through Roku at home all year long. So starting Saturday, the 10th season of Formula E is coming to Roku, and it is exhilarating. It's exciting. Everybody at Roku is excited to have some racing for you to watch. It's coming to you from Mexico City. And coming up next, the champion The reigning champion, Jake Dennis of Formula E, is going to be here right in studio. And then when we'll come back, we'll chat with him and see what happens. We'll find out, is somebody getting fired while he's here live? That's the way you roll, I guess, these days. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Here I go. I feel like I should put on a fire suit to do the Rich Eisen show every day. Like I'm putting out fires all the time.
Are you nervous?
What's up, man?
How are you?
What's going on?
Good to see you.
You too.
Mario still
have it?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Seems awesome.
Why do you do this for a living? Are you out of your mind?
He definitely did not take it easy on me. I mean, we zipped right out, and I thought to myself, why am I going to do this? How long is it going to last? The best part about it, though, is that I did not, I think, show any fear. You're going to check the GoPros. My eyes weren't wide. I even gave a thumbs up at one point.
This is as good as it gets.
Rich?
All in one swallow.
The winner. All in one swallow?
All in one swallow.
It's good for your hair, right?
You are the winner. You are the winner.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku channel, obviously on the Roku platform. And this here portal called Roku is the streaming home of Formula E, the world's first all-electric FIA World Championship Motorsports Series, and the reigning champion who is getting set to defend his crown starting this very Saturday in Mexico City, Season 10 of Formula E. Jake Dennis is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Jake. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I mean,
yes, round of applause here.
Thank you, guys.
This is what we call synergy.
Yeah.
You can't spell synergy without an E. Or Jake or Dennis or Horizon. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, you've nailed it. You got the E right.
I appreciate that. I got that part right. Okay, so let's just jump right into it. You are from?
London, UK.
London. Okay.
City boy.
Well, I mean, you are a city boy. And how did you get into racing, Jake?
I sort of gave it a go when I was 8 years old. My dad used to race before I did. Nothing professional or anything like that. It was just a sort of dad and lad hobby on the weekends. And I actually originally hated it. I wasn't a fan of it at all. And he was still racing at the time. So I just enjoyed watching him race more than me go round. And then when I was 9, I gave it another go and enjoyed it a lot more. Still wasn't very good, obviously, at that age. You got to build up and learn a lot, but it just sort of progressed from there. And then it really turned serious when I was 12, when I got sponsored, where they fortunately paid for every part of motorsport for 10 years.
You were a sponsored 12-year-old driver?
Yeah, I was a very fortunate position, and especially my family, because obviously motorsport's expensive.
I have a 12-year-old. I couldn't imagine giving him the key to a car, ever.
I mean, I definitely wasn't driving a car at that point. Okay. It was still go-karts.
Okay, very good.
You know, those little go-karts, which you got to start off at. Moved into cars when I was 15.
Okay.
So, yeah, obviously I fully understood a race car and a road car by that point, but still couldn't drive on the road. Legally.
Well, I have a 15-year-old. I couldn't imagine giving him the keys to a car. But okay.
But we survived, and
we did, obviously. And now you're a championship racer and driver. So how did you get into the world of Formula E? How did that happen?
I've been in Formula E for 3 years now, so still relatively new to it compared to some other guys. You know, they've been there from day one, so they're coming up to their 10th year. But yeah, it was just sort of right place, right time as well, with a bit of talent behind me. I used to actually race sports cars, which is basically like a road car turned into a full race car. So you got big rear wings, slick tires, roll cage. I did that for like 5 years, racing for Audi and Aston Martin. And then an opportunity came up in Formula E with BMW, where I got a bit of an insight that one of the drivers was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one contact there. And he gave me a simulator sort of shot where it's like a virtual world of racing. And you sort of try and prove yourself there. Did quite a good job with that. And then I got one test, which was up against their sort of number one driver, and did a pretty good job as well. And then they gave me the seat like 3 weeks before the first race.
3 weeks?
Yeah, it was really short notice. And got the seat, and then it was like straight into the season. And I mean, it was a rocky start. It wasn't easy by any stretch, but you know, we had a great end to the season and almost won the championship in our rookie year. But it was, good contacts, like anything, you know, you need the right place, right time, and go from there.
Jake Dennis, who is the reigning champion of Formula E racing, which will be now streamed right here on the Roku portal, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Excited to have you here. So, if you don't mind, since this is potentially a new audience you and for the sport and for the series, would you mind giving us a little primer on all of this? So how fast do these cars go?
So these cars now are pretty fast. You know, we've just had a new car come out in 2023, and we can reach up to the top speeds of like 190 miles per hour if the straight allows it. But one of the cool things about Formula E is we actually normally race fully in the city and like the city center. So you actually race mainly on street circuits.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really ever reach these top speeds because no street really ever has that long of a straight. So it's really tight, twisty circuits. Great for the fans to be able to get up close. And yeah, you just really race all around the world. Obviously, it's a fully electric racing series,
yes.
Which is obviously the biggest promotion of sustainability. One of the other big differences to, say, Formula One is we have one speck of tyre. So whether it's wet or dry, we keep the same tyres on, just again, trying to help promote sustainability. You know, we're not having massive amounts of heavy weight of crate. You know, we're flying all these cars around the world. It can be quite expensive. So trying to keep the capacity down as much as we possibly can and really promote, you know, what we're trying to achieve and help the environment while obviously doing something cool.
Your mission's free racing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Net zero. So it's obviously trying to promote that as much as possible. And I think what we do is create an amazing show. You know, in Formula One, a lot of the fans or a lot of the, you know, producers get excited when there's probably 70 overtakes in a race, which can be up to, like, say, 2 hours long.
Yes.
In Formula E, the race is 45 minutes, and we've had the likes of, we raced in Portland last season, and we had 630 overtakes in one race.
630 overtakes.
So it's pretty mental.
And pretty mental.
Yeah, we've got two races there coming up later this year as well. So last year was just a single header, just on Saturday. This year it's two, so we're probably looking at over 1,200 overtakes in an hour and a half.
So now, with it being a 45-minute race, there's no pit?
No, exactly.
I mean, because if you're not changing tires, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine you're fully charged, right? And the charge can last an entire race?
Yeah,
or?
So it is quite complicated. We're going to start this season with no pit stops, and that's what we've always done. But next, halfway through the season, we're going to go to fast charging pit stops, which basically means you come in halfway through the race, you charge the car for 30 seconds, and then it unlocks, obviously, extra energy, and then you go back out, and then you've got more energy to spend. So it's a big thing for Formula E. You know, it's a big thing for the manufacturers like Porsche, Jaguar. You know, they're all trying to promote and obviously make these road cars as better for the average, you know, personnel, which want to make their road cars as fast as possible. You know, the thing that's stopping us moving really to electric cars at the moment is, you know, the big lines that say trying to charge your car. You know, no one really wants to wait 30 minutes at the moment. So I think trying to promote fast charging where you can do it in 30 seconds in a Formula E car.
How much can you charge a car in 30 seconds?
It says a percentage. I'm not actually too sure, but it's 7% roughly, I would say.
Okay.
And, you know, it's pretty quick. And that allows us drivers, obviously, just drive faster as well. So it's a pretty cool aspect. It's definitely going to unlock more excitement, more drama in the racing as well. You know, you've got pit stops, you've got safety cars coming out of that type of time. So it definitely makes it harder for the strategy guys. But for me, you know, we're just trying to survive in the madness and sort of get through the race. But yeah, pit stops later this year will be super exciting.
Well, I mean, I have been asked before, if you don't mind me making this about me, there is an E in me, Jake, that I have been asked before in my career, hey, would you like to be part of a pit crew? And I've said, no way, because I'm not, you know, I'm not going to change a tire and have that blow out or anything like that, or have it fall off the car. Or, you know, with fuel, I mean, that stuff can be pretty dangerous. I'm sitting here thinking, Jake, I could plug in a car. I mean, like, you know, like if it's just, you know, plugging something in and then taking...
I'll just try not to run you over.
Well, no, but that would be an on me thing. That would be a me thing if I stay out of the way.
If I aim for you, though.
Okay, well, hopefully, you know, now that we've met, you wouldn't. But, I mean, I think I could take the charger and
I mean, yeah, it's really not that complicated.
I'm just sitting here thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
I can give you 7%. I do that every day here on the show.
If you're free for the Portland 7%. Race. If you're free for the Portland race, I'll get my team to give you a shot.
That's the one that's domestic in the United States here?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So not too far of a flight for you.
I can get to Oregon and plug in the Jake Dennis. It's just one time, right? One time in the race.
Yeah, one time. And if I don't win, I'm blaming you. Even if you did everything correctly.
Again, I'm used to that at home every single day.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, that's awesome. So it's a Mexico City, then Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very cool. Probably the driver's favorite circuit. We race basically at night. So it's floodlit, but also you can obviously see where you're going. But just racing at night in the sort of desert, the circuit is absolutely incredible. You know, you have so many like mountain sections up and down. It's a bit of like a roller coaster. So,
wow.
And it's super dusty offline. So if you
makes
make sound,
yeah, it makes sense there.
Yeah. So it makes it quite difficult one line only, but super rewarding if you get it right.
I'll be honest. I'm not to go geopolitical here with you, Jake, but I would think if there's one place that would get upset that you're not using gas, it would be Saudi Arabia.
Oil, yeah. I agree with that. They're quite well.
Come on and get off the grid. I mean, that doesn't sound all right. And then you're going to, Hyderabad, India?
That's unfortunately just been cancelled.
Okay, sorry.
But then
Brazil?
Brazil.
Japan?
Tokyo.
That must be... You don't do that at night, do you?
No, I think every driver really wanted it to happen. I actually don't think it's confirmed if it's day or night, but I think it will be day. But nevertheless, I think racing in Tokyo will be absolutely incredible.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's definitely the highlight of the calendar. I think last year we raced in Cape Town, which was probably everyone's favorite. This year probably will be Tokyo. And then we're going back to Shanghai. That's a really cool location. Racing in my hometown in London for the end of the season.
Where in London? How in the world can they clear traffic in London? I mean, this may be the only way to clear traffic in London.
So what they do really well in for London is we actually race half indoor, half outdoor.
Okay.
So we race in the building called the XL Arena, which is absolutely massive. And we have half the circuit inside, half circuit outside. And obviously block most of the traffic for sure, obviously to create this circuit.
They must be very happy about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's super cool track though.
It must be.
Yeah. Last year it actually rained for the race and you had obviously half of it dry, half of it wet. So it was very challenging for the drivers, you could say.
I bet. Where would you want to race?
Where would I like to race? I think Australia. Australia for me would be a super cool location. Sydney's somewhere where I've raced before in the previous championship I used to do. And it's one of my favorite cities. So, definitely there. And then hopefully we can maybe have a race in LA. That would be super exciting.
Okay.
It's my first time here in LA, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, then I'm your charger here.
Yeah.
All right. You understand
I'll get you
that?
In, yeah.
Yes. I'm making myself available for that. Have you ever seen Talladega Nights?
Oh, who hasn't? Absolute awesome film.
Do you have the same mantra?
The shake and bake.
Well, no. If you're not first, you're last.
That is very true. I could say I would have that motto. Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. All right. So, Jake, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations on your win last year and your success in Formula E. And look forward to seeing you right here on Roku all the time.
I'll look forward to seeing you in Portland.
I will be there. I will be there. Jake Dennis, at Jake Dennis 19 on all social circuits. Roku, again, is the streaming home of Formula E. And you could check it out this coming Saturday, season 10, kicking off in Mexico City. And, of course, your goal is to repeat. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Jake Dennis right here on The Rich Eisen Show on Roku. Like Jake.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposedly going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Free stuff.
Hey, where?
Right here. For the studio.
Oh.
Look what we just got.
I like free stuff.
From Team Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, cool.
Does this look like a bobblehead to you? I don't know. There's
yes,
nothing.
It does. Grit on the side.
It says all grit.
All grit.
Yeah, it's not half grit. Probably a bobblehead.
Well, I don't
right?
like instant grits either, as we know.
Oh, okay. It is. Oh, yeah. It's a bobblehead.
Man, he's balling.
For the studio, man.
What did he have for...
Here we go. He's about to play his first playoff game, too. Look out, Matthew Stafford, I guess. Here we go.
What did you think of that whole deal about someone telling Lions fans not to wear Stafford jerseys to the game?
Who did that?
That's a thing that's going around right now.
Oh.
Kelly Stafford took issue with it, and a lot of people are wondering what's the deal.
Well, I understand that he's the enemy, but I mean, he's come on. Although that would be weird, wouldn't it? Like you support Stafford on the day that the Lions play their first playoff game
but
in 30 years.
But if you only
but don't
own
but
a
don't
Stafford
come out and
jersey.
Say don't come out and say don't show up in them.
But if you only own a Stafford jersey and that's your one Lions jersey, and
right.
you want to support the
you've
team,
been wearing it all year long,
yeah, then.
People are just nuts. Is it really a campaign to say don't show up in a Stafford jersey?
It's kind
jersey?
Of been a thing this week. Yeah, I saw it.
Although it would be a weird choice, wouldn't it? It'd be a weird choice.
Kind of,
it would be a weird choice.
Of.
So it's on you. But to come out basically, because then it sounds disrespectful
don't wear
to Stafford.
Your Stafford jerseys. Right.
That's and, little, and so that's I wouldn't mind. I don't mind.
That guy gave like 10 years of his life to you guys.
Kelly Stafford being upset about that. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You imagine somebody said that about me, how Susie would come out? Swinging.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, swinging. Thank you to Aiden Hutchins.
Is he kicking? Oh, that's cool.
He's doing good stuff. Nice. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And new Aiden Hutchinson bobblehead doll sent to us from the man himself. This guy right here, this guy, he started it. He was Jim's first spirit animal.
The legacy player.
Dude, his dad played when I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he started all. My gosh, what a world it would be if the Lions go on a run right now after Michigan just won it all. That would be something. Okay, so let's talk about this right here. Not many NBA fans focus that much on, I guess, Serbian basketball, right? Would you say that?
Not particularly.
Just come on out there, right?
Yeah, some of the players, but not.
Yeah, right. Just like your casual NBA fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not many casual NBA fans would know the name Darko Rajakovic, right? Certainly since he came from Serbian basketball and coached the Tulsa 66ers of the G League, right? The Development League, right? And he spent some time as an assistant in Oklahoma City and Phoenix and Memphis. Last year, though, was the end of his reign as an assistant coach in the NBA. When Nick Nurse left to go coach your Sixers, sir, the Raptors said, we're going to make Darko our head coach. And he's now the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. So, and I don't know how many people are paying attention much to Toronto Raptors basketball.
Yeah, they're not that high up in the standings.
I think a couple of weeks ago, again, it might have pierced the casual NBA fans' awareness when they made a rare December trade.
Yep.
That was one of the top five storylines that we, wildest storylines that we missed while we were on our Christmas break.
True.
And RJ Barrett and IQ sent from the Knicks, Emmanuel Quickly, for OG Anunoby and Precious
Achiuwa.
Achiuwa.
Bless you.
So Darko says, Achiuwa, go to New York. It's basically what I'm saying. Some are saying like Darko is not really on a lot of radar screens. He is now. Not just any radar screen. This is going to be in the pantheon of post-game press conference coaches' rants.
Oh.
Have you heard this yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I have.
Well, let me give you a setup. The
awesome.
Los Angeles Lakers hosted the Toronto Raptors here in this Lakers town last night. And the Lakers finally won a game the other day. They beat your Clippers for the first time in a long time.
Well, second time this year.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they beat your Clips, and now they won two in a row. They beat the Raptors last night, 132-131, thanks to, wait for it, 36 free throws in the game.
Jeez.
For the Lakers, including 23 in the fourth quarter. Now,
whoa.
Jakob Poeltl was not there in the center of this Toronto Raptors defense. He's out. He's injured. So Anthony Davis had a night, 41 points, 20 in the fourth quarter, 11 of those 20 from the free throw line. 11 free throws. Do you know how many free throws the Raptors had in the fourth quarter?
Probably less than 11.
Two.
Oh, hey.
23-2. And then there was an offensive foul on R.J. Barrett that wiped out a game-tying three-pointer from Scottie Barnes last night. So, let's get to the post-game press conference. Coach Darko. What'd you think about the officiating and free throw disparity? Now, mind you, you're not allowed to criticize officials.
Right, you will get fined.
You will get fined.
You will get fined.
Well, Darko is there and he will get fined.
No doubt.
Outrageous. What happened tonight, this is completely BS. This is shame. Shame for the referees, shame for the league to allow this. 23 free throws for them and we get two free throws in the fourth quarter. like how to play the game. I understand respect for all stars and all of that, but we have star players on our team as well. How's possible that Scotty Barnes, who is all-star caliber player in this league, he goes every single time to the rim with force and trying to get to the rim without flopping and not trying to get foul calls. He gets two free throws for the whole game. How is that possible? How are you going to explain that to me? They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win. But that was not fair tonight. And this is not happening first time for us. Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star. He's going to be the face of this league. And what's happening over here during whole season, I've been calling you back, it's a complete crap. No, there is no explanation. They just come up there, they review what, and they see what they want to see. They don't want to hear us, what we got to say. They don't want to hear the players. They don't just want to protect us. Over again, they got 36 free throws, 23 free throws in the fourth quarter. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? How are we going to supposed to play?
Well done, bro. Big fan.
Darko's going to get a beer commercial when he retires.
Awesome. That was great.
What are you getting? Is that six figures? It's a lot of euro.
It's a lot of euros.
What do you think?
75, probably.
That's hard to say.
What do you think? I mean, complete crap. I like it.
That is complete crap.
And he's caping for Scotty Barnes. Face of basketball.
Love it.
Scotty Barnes.
Love it.
I mean, look.
Got to speak it into existence,
right?
Your
initial reaction is probably to scoff at what he said, but Scotty Barnes is averaging 21.
Dude, I'm not scoffing. I scoff not.
I'm just saying, in America, people at home, your nice. First instinct may be to scoff, but Scotty Barnes is a baller.
Hey, man, OG Anunoby is a Knick now, I understand, and a lot of folks focus on the New York Knicks because it's New York City basketball, and they have played very well. But R.J. Barrett has been lighting it up the last two games, and he looks pretty damn comfortable in a Raptors uniform. And Emmanuel Quickley, that's a good trade for them. They're a fun team to watch, Toronto, and an even more fun team for the post-game press conference. Now, and that's going to go. That's already gone viral. Everyone's talking about it because, you know, it sounds like, I don't know, I was expecting to see, is that Sacha Baron Cohen, you know, just going to come out and just take his mustache off, you
the
know,
accent
and just,
really helps. The,
it does. It know, does the, add to it, right?
Add to it.
Don't you think?
Big
it?
Time. Big time.
You know who's upset about it? My wife.
Well, hold on. You don't like it when we say that.
No, I'm not talking about Susie.
Oh, okay, got it.
His wife.
I'm just wanting.
Yeah, his wife. Darko's wife.
Darko.
I don't even know her. I shouldn't bring her into it.
I mean,
but what do you think? I mean,
he's got a valid argument. That's a huge discrepancy.
And by the way,
in foul
23
shots.
To 2 in the fourth quarter.
Mind you, I didn't see the game. Right,
I didn't see
how the game was played. Maybe I mean, AD went to the line. He was 13 to 14 from the line, so he by far had the most trips. Dude. But
I know how aggressive Toronto is being at the rim. Like I don't know any of those things. But 23-2.
Well,
that's
a
lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I love this. This is a great quote.
Was Scott Foster reffing last night?
LeBron, we knew he had an advantage on the interior tonight. We just try to get it to, you know, AD early and often and late.
And late.
End quote. End quote.
Good quote, LeBron. Hold on. I'm checking the officiating last night to see who was doing the game.
There you go. Here's the finals. Dennis Schroeder accidentally banked it. Here's the last line of the report. Dennis Schroeder accidentally banked in a three-pointer with 4 seconds to play, but Davis hit two more free throws before Trent's three at the buzzer.
Hit two more free throws. They call the foul with 4 seconds left?
Dude, I mean...
I guess it was a one-point game.
Listen, this is not... I gave you his resume. It's not like he just showed up from Serbia and doesn't know the NBA and what you're supposed to say after a game about officiating.
No,
he's been around. He totally knows.
He started
knows.
Coaching when he was 16
Dude,
years old.
I know. He's a real deal and has a ton of respect in the league. And I'm just wondering if that respect just went up. It certainly did in his locker room. I'll tell you that.
No doubt.
And I'm sure, again, the Lakers, I mean, that's nuts. I mean, if you're an official and you go back and you start looking at the stat sheet, it's, we called 23 for them and 2 for, okay.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
He's got a point. I mean, do you think maybe there should be that sort of self-awareness?
I wonder if refs do that.
The Lakers played such a clean game. Of course they do. Absolutely they do. Yeah. And guess what? If they don't, you know who does? The league.
For that.
you know, they go through the last 2 minutes with a fine-tooth comb.
The Lakers were only called for 16 fouls, 26 for Toronto.
Oh, we got LeBron. We got a soundbite for LeBron? We do?
No Scott Foster last night.
Oh, hold on a minute. Okay. Okay, hit it. What do you got?
I felt like they fouled and we didn't.
Wow. It's a very simple explanation. Hold on a minute. Do we have Darko's response to it? Do you want to rack that up one more time? We got Darko's response to LeBron. You got to hear it again. I mean, you just got to hear it. Well, that's a new drop.
Outrageous. What happened tonight, this is completely BS. This is shame.
Yes, it is.
Shame for the referees. Shame for the league to allow this. 23 free throws for them, and we get two free throws in the fourth quarter.
I mean, this is...
Like, how to play the game. I understand respect for all stars and all that, but we have star players on our team as well.
That's right.
How's possible that Scotty Barnes, who is all-star caliber player in this league, he goes every single time to the rim with force and trying to get to the rim without flopping and not trying to get foul calls. He gets two free throws for the whole game.
Where's the crap?
How's that possible? How are you going to explain that to me? They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game.
I love that line. That's great.
That was not fair tonight. And this is not happening first time for us. Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star. He's going to be the face of this league. And what's happening over here during whole season, I've been holding you back. It's a complete crap. No, there is no explanation. They just come up there, they review what, and they see what they want to see. They don't want to hear us, what we got to say. They don't want to hear the players. They don't just want to protect us. Over the game, they got 36 free throws, 23 free throws in the fourth quarter. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? How are we going to supposed to play?
Jim Morovich, right there.
Jim Morovich.
What are we talking about?
I like the beginning Dennis where Greenovich. He's just like, this is outrageous. This is complete BS.
It is. It's crap. I don't blame him.
It's hilarious.
And then, well, I feel like they fouled and we didn't.
We didn't.
I don't know. No, the numbers support that, do they not? Wow. The National Basketball Association.
I'm just keeping an eye on the fine announcement. I'm just refreshing Woj here.
I don't know. I mean, he's going to get fined, but at some point, the guy's got a point. That's the way an NBA coach should react when it's 23-2 in the fourth quarter.
Raptors Clippers tonight. What do you think the free throw discrepancy is going to be?
Is Scott Foster there?
Oh, no. Let me check.
Let's go to the game, huh?
Clippers Raps?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go see Darko. Give him an attaboy. Give him an attaboy.
Oh, Tony Brothers, just as bad.
Okay, very good. Bruce Feldman coming up. Oh, yeah. Bruce is here. We're going to throw him a parade.
Are you going to the parade?
When is it? Have they announced it?
Oh, I just assumed that it was a couple days
later. I would give large consideration to doing that. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, what? That's going to be epic. That's going to be epic.
Oh, wait, hold on. This site has it. Hold on a second.
we know Jim's not going to, the parade's not going to Chicago. Nothing, we know that.
Nothing confirmed yet. Nothing confirmed.
We know that parade's not going to Chicago.
The great thing is you going back to your old frat house during the parade route and you shotgunning beers with 21-year-olds.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, is that what I should do with my life?
Well, if you're going to go to a parade on a
shotgun
college.
Shotgun beers?
Yes. Why
full,
not?
Full details available today.
Your youth.
The Michigan football program tweeted out likely Saturday parade.
Oh, that's
perfect for you.
So, oh, this Saturday wild card. I'm working. I'm working.
Yeah, you'll be back in time.
You can zoom in from there.
Zoom in, but
by the way, from a parade float.
I didn't shotgun beers in college.
Well, that's
so I'm going to do it now. I'm going to start now.
Why didn't you?
Baby with a capital A.
Better late than never,
right? You go back.
I told you that one story in my old frat house.
So why?
When they handed me a tin of Kodiak and I packed it and flew up and the dip wound up in my eyelid.
Well, I didn't say for you to have some snuff while you were there.
There's no boy. I'm not boy blue. I'm not the boy blue showing up.
how wrestling really works, and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
I mean, I dig Jey Uso because he's born out of great storytelling, and he lived up to the opportunity and exceeded it. The LA Knight, he's way up on my list because here's a guy that's been around for almost ever, should have probably quit a half a dozen times, and he just forced his way into their life, and now he's making money hand over fist. That is a story I love.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.